Fox Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning. Hour number two begins right now. Text line, you need to interact with the program. We'll get a bunch of texts to get to. 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with the program. So it'll come John Wall. He is the former chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, but he's the lieutenant gubernatorial nominee on the November ballot. We'll hear from him in about 30 minutes, and then about an hour and a half from now from Public Affairs, Will Hampson, our Tuesday regulars. There are elections going on around the country. Let's roll through these texts. Mike writes, I don't like the small town mayors are purposely setting up Orwellian states. I think they're just useful patsies that aren't smart enough to think through the nationwide system's consequences they're setting up. Kind of like your buddy Buttram. They're buying into giving up people's freedoms in the name of safety. They deserve neither. And it's sort of like your congressman or your state representative. You like your guy. You like your person. And I think in Butcher's case, he likes his police chief. He likes his city council. He likes his mayor. He feels confident enough that they won't abuse this technology, that they will use it responsibly, that it will make the streets safer, that people will be safer, that public safety will be enhanced. But that's the problem, right? There's one or two bad actors. And maybe these municipalities, they look at this in good faith. And they look at it and they think, yeah, we would never do that. And then as someone says, as such a time comes, like in the heat of passion or something, they want to catch their wife or their girlfriend or stalk somebody. And you're not thinking rationally. And you abuse the technology. You abuse your power. Happens all the time. But it's the collective. And then over time, well, this is true with anything. And, you know, someone brought up the Patriot Act. That trust erodes. That responsible behavior erodes. And what, the Patriot Act gets passed in 2002 or late 2001? Well, whenever it was. And it was just 15 years later, we see that it's being used in a way against a politician, a presidential candidate. We see unmasking by Susan Rice. We see intelligence being leaked to media outlets for political purposes. And they would, in their minds, well, this guy could never be president. It would be harmful to the country. I just disagree with him so much. And he is so bad that the ends justify the means. But that gets back to this. That's a fair argument, but the better argument, I think, is it's just we don't do that in America. We're not supposed to do that. But that's not the way we had to operate on a assumption of innocence until guilt is proven. But then, you know, a lot of law enforcement types, a lot of people who deal with the public, that they can be dismissive of that because it's dangerous out there. And they're trying to keep you safe, and you just don't know what's good for you. Unnamed texter writes, I'm pretty sure it is a privilege to drive. You have a license. You're required to carry out a certain amount of insurance. And unfortunately, I believe that's how they can get away with the flock cameras. Yes, and I don't disagree with that, but I mean, I think those cameras, if you're using them to track vehicular indiscretions or law breaking. Maybe that's one thing. But something tells me these have a, especially in big cities where maybe you have a lot of pedestrian traffic. You're not even driving. Or maybe it's something of that nature. I don't know. Also, you know, it is still a government for, of, and by the people. And that government for, of, and by the people are the ones who give the privilege to drive. And I would just say, if they don't want this, then should they be forced to go along with it? That yes, it's a privilege to drive, but that's a privilege that's bestowed on you by the government that you're a part of, that you have a say in. What if it's this kind of scenario? I'd propose this. What if you live somewhere and the overwhelming majority of people want this technology implemented? That the roads have gotten so bad that people run red lights. They endanger your children who you're just trying to take to school. Maybe they're in a hurry to get to work. They're just blowing through red lights. They're on their phone looking at their Instagram or whatever. Maybe they're chemically impaired or, you know, that they want some kind of beefing up of enforcement. This is what people want. And they're willing to cede, the overwhelming majority are willing to cede this Fourth Amendment aspect to it. DI Texter says, Lord Ernie is correct on flock cameras, but talking about upholding the Constitution is laughable while supporting Florida man for governor. But this is like a black and white thing. One way or the other, there's no gray area in his mind. I think with the Tuberville residency stuff, that's a losing argument. That the people who are pushing it know it's a losing argument, but their goal is not to triumph in the court of law, but in the court of public opinion. That they're using the judicial system on coach's residency to sow seeds of doubt, if you will, about Tommy Tuberville. To me, you know, that's certainly part of it. But he comes from, this is the one guy and the state legislature talks about these things from this broad, esoteric, 10,000-foot view. Unnamed texture of everyone seems to hate these cameras so much. Why do they tolerate getting x-rayed and patted down by the TSA? Because flying is not in a logical extreme, you're right. But you don't have to fly. You have other means of transit. Jason asks, what good is all this surveillance if there's no enforcement? We see our judges and system fail us daily. You're right. Overcrowded prisons and early release on the grounds at prisons are, you know, too crowded. That there's some fundamental flaws in the system that you're like, well, why don't you address this before we go down this path? Scroll Vereen, my high school in the early 1990s had a rifle range in the basement for junior ROTC. I didn't know about it until I saw it in the yearbook. Comparing mass cameras to prison is silly. Leo. Reference Representative Yarbrough, I don't want to live in a country with 50 million illegal aliens either, but here we are. I'm much more concerned about that than flock cameras. You feel like you could control that, that you could tell your city councilman, no, you better not fund this. You better not vote for this. You better not enable this. You could tell your member of Congress that. But, you know, at that local level, you're much more empowered to change that. And, Leo, so you could say that about immigration, but, you know, what can Yarbrough as a state lawmaker do on immigration? That's a function of the federal government. Name texter to company installing Baldwin surveillance system sends me a link. Protect Video Services, and the local companies are allowing the cameras to be installed on the power poles, so they have the right of way to do it. Ultra Runner writes, not sure if Flock is a Rubicon issue. Flock cameras are on a many levels at personal liberties versus group safety. Ring doorbell, cellular data, biometric surveillance, the list is long. Let each state and city, each community decide their acceptable parameters. But the Ring doorbells are, now I'm sure there's some government agency with a Ring doorbell camera, but generally speaking, those are on private property that you, Ultra Runner, as a private citizen, choose to install this on your home. A much different concept than someone installing it on a right-of-way power pole. Or you say cellular data, well, just you're not compelled to use a cell phone. Biometric surveillance, so that's like face recognition. That technology exists. It's just, should the private sector use it versus the public sector, the government? Thomas writes, hey, there are two cameras on Highway 90 going into Mississippi. Who put the cameras up? Thomas from Irvington. So Mississippi, they check you at the door. Mr. Doug, some businesses use Flock for catching thieves. Retail theft is big. Yeah, that's when you hear, and he was talking about it, what, in the Lowe's parking lot? Well, that's Lowe's doing it. If it's a city of Decatur doing it, and Lowe's is saying, okay, maybe that's different. It's still the city that monitors. I'll say this about Flock cameras. You could go to Gulf Shores while having an active warrant if you want to, but you will be arrested. My nephew had a warrant and barely made it over the bridge. That's a public service announcement for those of you with outstanding warrants. Unnamed texter, they cannot restrict the right to travel. I see constitutionalists online using their cars with no license plate and only a state-issued ID. School officials every day. The license plates and driver license are actually for commercial use vehicles. I don't. The government provides the roads and bridges you use, and they're going to set terms for you to operate a motor vehicle on them. There's a public safety variable there that I think most people are okay with. 251-343-0106. Let's get a break in here. We will return. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. See the stars light up the purple sky. Feel that lonesome chill. Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. John Wall up in the next segment, so stick around for that. 251-343-0106. Rock and Roll Doctor with a lengthy text here. We have annual U.S. government cash flow of negative $2 trillion, all approved by Congress. Inflation at the yin-yang. Bond yields above 5%. Mortgage rates above 6%. 6%. All because of a devalued dollar creating huge affordability gaps for buying homes. And people like Jerry Carl boasting about a bike/walking path. He secured federal funds to connect Weeks Bay and Magnolia Springs that nearly no one will ever use. How about cutting spending to create a balanced budget, Jerry? That's better for our economy than a bike path, but I thought you would know this already. Well, and I'm with you on most of that. I guess the question is, if Congress is going to do what Congress is going to do, and they're going to spend $2 trillion more than they're bringing in on an annual basis, what do we do? Do we not try to get at least something out of it? You still got to pay it. You're still a part of it. I mean, it's a tough question because, okay, they're going to spend this much money. Well, we're not going to try to get a slice of that pie. Or you got to really fundamentally change the whole attitude and demeanor of Congress, but they don't seem to be concerned about that. Mike writes, we don't live in a democracy. We live in a constitutional republic, and because the majority wants to give up their Fourth Amendment rights, doesn't mean that's a credible option. But, I'm not saying it in a, let's put it up on a referendum and vote for it, but that's what people want. That's the government they want, that they are willing to cede their Fourth Amendment rights. Unless, like I said, it's an overwhelming majority and it's a solution to a problem that exists. What do you say to that? Now, in some circumstances, you know, majority doesn't always rule. They get it wrong. But this is what they want. Are you going to tell them no? That they decided they want to cede this Fourth Amendment aspect of their daily lives so that they can take their kids to school without the threat of vehicular collision or a more minimal threat of it? I don't know. That seems to be kind of where you should have these arguments. I just don't think the public's there. I don't think that's what the public wants. Maybe it's some exclusive community, even more exclusive than like Mountain Brook or whatever. If it's some gated community. B-Dark, Jet, all the flock cameras are for the tracking people that refuse to receive the chip in their forehead. That's coming. Your social media credit score or whatever. It will be very Chinese. Toothless Bamber, some of the photos of your tag and not the driver. It's up to the owner of the car to prove it wasn't you. It should be the government that has to burn. Most think it's not worth it to fight. Yeah, I think that's true. Your tag and your car, maybe not your car ownership, but the ability to drive on the government's roads is the way this is justified. And it's what people want in some places. I mean, it's hard to fathom, but in some places in America, there are people who see the government as the higher power, as the solution to all the woes, and the government holds the ability to cure society. That's unfortunate, but that's the way they look at the world. And I think that's where some of this technology is being implemented. This flock camera thing has long been a thing in a lot of places around the country. 251-343-0106. One more here. Tim writes, Jeff, it's a putting up the cameras up at Pritchard. They're going to have to build another jail. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Mona tried to tell me to stay away from the train line. She said that all the railroad men just drink up your blood like wine.
Hey, I was country.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Tuesday morning. If you want to interact with the program, still got a bunch to get to. 251-343-0106. We'll get to your text messages over the course of today's broadcast. Still to come, Will Hampson from P2 Public Affairs. That's coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, so stick around for that. Joining us now, he is our Republican nominee for Lieutenant Governor. John Wall joins us on the line. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to be on the show.
Hey, thank you for making time. We always do appreciate you coming on. Well, we're at a different stage of the campaign than probably we talked the last time. You were just kind of on the heels of winning the nomination. What's it been out there doing, being the Republican nominee for Lieutenant Governor?
I mean, look, it's been really good. You know, obviously, this is Alabama. We're you know, very strong Republican state. And I don't want to take anything for granted. You know, I think it's still important that our statewide elected officials are engaged in the political process, that they're still running general election campaigns. I mean, in my background as state party chairman, as chairman of the Alabama Republican Party for the last 5 years. And I like to see candidates that get involved. I think that's what we need more of in government, right? We need actual citizen leaders. We need people who are not career politicians, who don't just care about, you know, don't just care about getting elected, but care about making government better and serving the people. So for me, I'm actually really enjoying it. You know, still out there traveling. You know, we were on a 5-day tour last week around the state, and just staying engaged, running the campaign, talking to voters, you know, explaining to them, that I'm not a career politician. I am different, but I'm different in that I think it's time that we return government back to the vision of our founding fathers. That we cared about people's liberties and their freedoms again, and we really got government back to the basics. Because, look, I have so much hope for Alabama. I think 2026 is going to be a year that changes our state forever. And it's going to be because of freedom and because of limited government and getting our government back to what it was supposed to be, where we return control and power back to the people.
Well, what's your outlook statewide in Alabama? You could talk a little bit about that, just sort of as your role formerly as the party chairman. But there could be some headwinds ahead, maybe not for you necessarily, but maybe some down ballot races, particularly AL2. There's some concern there. But beyond that, looking at the, some of these legislative races, how do things seem out there on the state level?
Yeah, well, look, I completely agree. You know, I think we're pretty safe statewide in LA, but look, that's why I want to see the statewide, statewide nominees getting out there and campaigning, because it's not just about us. This is about government in general, and it's about the down ballot races. It's about county school board, you know, county commission, state house, state senate, and you know, everything in between. So I think you're 100% right. This is going to be a hard year for Republicans. Like, let's be honest about the situation we're in. Democrats are engaged, they're energetic, they're motivated, and they're going to turn out. And I tell people all the time, midterm elections are hard for, you know, the opposing, whichever party does not have control of the White House in a midterm. It's not because voters have really changed their minds or because the population is different. It's mostly about turnout. The opposition party is engaged and cares more, and turnout is lower in midterms. And so the increased excitement on that side carries the day. And that's why, look, everywhere I go around the state, I'm talking to Republicans, I'm saying, don't take this for granted. You know, Donald Trump's election as president was not the end of the battle. It's just the beginning, because we've got to bring that same intensity, not just to Washington, but to the state level, to the local level, as we fight for people's freedoms. Because, look, America is under siege. The left want to change who we are. We see that with their nominees becoming more and more aggressive and more and more, you know, open socialist. And I think the only answer to it is that the Republicans stay engaged, they stay involved, and they don't take this election cycle for granted, because otherwise we will lose some of these down ballot races.
Yeah, that seems to be the name of the game. And, you know, turnout's been a little bit of a struggle in the primaries for Republicans. The special election, not necessarily an indicator of anything, but is it time to be concerned based on the special election turnout on May 19th, or whatever, that, you know, Republican turnout just wasn't really what people had hoped for?
Well, look, I think it's time to be concerned about turnout from the primary, the runoff, and that. I mean, look, I was very proud to be the grassroots candidate, right? I'm the candidate who overperformed polling, who, you know, ended up winning by 14 points in the runoff, highest vote getter, because I appealed to that more energetic base. You know, I was, you know, the grassroots candidate. And I'm very proud of that. You know, proud is probably not the right word. I'm humbled that I earned the trust of the voters in the state. But I think we need, you saw it, right? You saw the candidates that engage the base. And this is why Donald Trump always outperforms polling, because he engages the grassroots. And that's what we need our Republican candidates doing. The voter base are sick and tired of go along to get along status quo establishment Republicans coming and running. And it just does not excite the Republican base. And so I think that's the message to Republicans. If you want to win, you've got to actually do what you say you're going to do. You've got to actually drain the swamp. You've got to actually cut the size of government. You've got to actually care about the voters and not just, you know, not just use the talking points to get elected. And I think that's the answer. If we want to see turnout increase, the answer is that we have bold Republicans who are not afraid to stand up for what's right, who won't back down, who will not surrender, and will actually do what they said once they get elected.
So we'll get into some of the more specifics here. I don't know how much you've been engaged with the news cycle, but particularly the biggest state issue right now, and we went from data centers to flock cameras. I get it. It's an intrusion into people's, you know, privacy, and mm-hmm. they feel that this is not, you know, whatever you think of it, it's just not something we want our government doing. I think this will come up next session. What do you think of this? What do you make of it?
Well, I think it should come up. So as far as me following policy, I am the policy guy. So I couldn't get away from it if I wanted to. This is my passion, right? Like what makes good government? What policies defend the rights and the freedoms of the people of our state? And look, the flock camera issue comes down to pretty much one thing. Is it constitutional? And I'm a strong supporter of the Constitution. I am a constitutionalist. I believe a lot of our problems can be solved by going back to the basics, by understanding the vision of our founding fathers and why they secured the liberties and the rights they did. Because I believe that our rights come from our creator. They don't come from government. And government can't just change what your rights are. These are transcendent rights that our founding fathers recognized and guaranteed in the Constitution. And one of those is the Fourth Amendment. And it is the people of this country, their right, the people of this country have a right to be safe and secure in their property, to not have searches without warrants, to not, to have that ability to travel in privacy. And so I think the question is, are flock cameras constitutional? I think they are not. I think the mass collection of information on innocent, average, everyday voters and citizens is unconstitutional. And so if you look at it through that lens, the answer is we should, if someone doesn't like it, they should bring up changing the Constitution. Don't ignore the rules we have in place, but make the argument to the public of why they should. So I think if the argument should be taken to the public, and they should have a chance to vote on it or decide, rather than them just having mass amounts of data collected on them without their permission.
Well, and so I was kind of game planning this out with Representative Yarborough earlier in the show. My guess is this will absolutely, it'll come up, it'll be talked about, there'll be bills filed, but there's so many entities, you know, that don't necessarily speak for the public at large, but they speak for the Sheriff's Association or the municipalities or you know, whatever it may be, just law enforcement in general. They're going to come into the legislative session. There's going to be any number of bills trying to, you know, either put up some guardrails or just mandate that these things be prohibited across the board. And my guess is they'll get there, they'll hash out some kind of compromise in caucus or wherever, and then they'll pass a bill, and it'll be unsatisfactory for a lot of the public that's talking about this. But then the legislature will turn around, pat itself on the back, and they will praise themselves.
They
did something to protect your Fourth Amendment rights. that this is not happening in Alabama. Alabama is the leader, the vanguard in constitutional protections, and that just won't be the case at all. It's all going to be about the branding.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's fairly normal, right? let me I'm going to explain a couple of things because I think this is important. One, I'm a strong supporter of law enforcement. You know, I think they have a hard job. I think we want to keep our community safe. It's important that we support our local law enforcement, our state law enforcement, our national law enforcement. And I'm very opposed to, you know, the movement to defund the police and the left's criticalness of our law enforcement, because a lot of them are the vast majority of our law enforcement are hardworking, good people who should deserve our support and our respect, period. However, I also believe that by nature, freedom is a little bit dangerous. Look, the safest place to be is locked in a padded room for your entire life, where you can't get injured, you can't be hurt, you can't, you know, don't drive a car, you know, but not a single one of us would choose that life. And we have to remember that by nature, a free society brings with it some dangerous elements. And we have to, you know, and that's the hard part of leadership. When should government step in? When does that reach a level where government has a compelling interest to safeguard the people from those risks and those concerns? And that's where the Constitution comes in. And the Constitution said, okay, here's the guidelines that we're going to put in place that do not allow government to cross these thresholds, even if it's done for good intent. I believe our law enforcement want flock cameras for the best reasons. But the Constitution steps in and says, okay, here is where government cannot go past without changing that document. And I think the mass collection of personal information goes against the Fourth Amendment. I think that's where we have to make the decision as a free society. Is this the standard we want to hold that our founding fathers left us, or do we want to change it? But I don't think we should just allow it to be changed without that discussion and without including the public and making sure they have a voice when deciding where we go.
And this issue sort of just kind of sprung up on us in the last few weeks. But and are these cities, are these municipalities, are these city councils, you know, do they seem to be advocating for this, or no, actually they're just doing it. And it's like Representative Yarbrough said, these things seem to be just popping up out of holes in the ground, just happening. Maybe they have a discussion at a city council meeting that no one's at, or they're doing it in, you know, some executive session format, or I don't know how these things are coming to be, but what do you make of that? How does a city like Slocum, Alabama, which you never would think, well, you know, small town Alabama being part of this like big Orwellian push.
Right.
But it is becoming sort of that. It's a strange phenomenon that's really like, it's a trend in municipal government, not just in Alabama, but everywhere. And it seems to be catching up to Alabama in a big way.
Well, look, I think this is a national and look, international effort. This is actually not new. You know, the flock cameras have brought this out, but this technology has been there, and it's been moving for years. And it really just came to people's attention now with flock cameras. That's just a private company that's using the government right-of-ways to collect the information and then sell it to government. But this is a far, you know, this issue goes back for years. You know, I've been aware of it for years and have very much wrestled with the constitutionalness of it for years. And like I said, I think the big question comes back to the public. Do you want all your movements recorded? Because this is what this is about. Government wants the ability to know where you are, where you've been, and where you're going, you know, and store that information where they, you know, they know your day-to-day routes. They know pretty much everything about, you know, movement of vehicles on the highways. And I think that is a very powerful tool. But with it comes incredible privacy concerns. We want government to be able to protect us, and we want law enforcement to be able to protect us. But I think we also have to be cognizant of the risk to civil liberties and the risk to individual privacy. And once again, I think this goes back to government should not have control to make those decisions for the citizenship. Voters should be making the decision on whether they're giving away their Fourth Amendment rights and whether they're giving away their right to privacy.
Well, let me ask you like this then. What if you live somewhere and they are okay with this? and they say things are so bad here, the threat of some kind of vehicular incident is so bad. People are running red lights. They're driving intoxicated. They're just running through stop signs. We need to do something here. What's the policy prescription? And some people are like, just to hell with it. Just put the cameras up if that's what it's going to take to make me be able to take my children to school without the threat of some kind of injury.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, first thing is flock cameras don't help. They don't help with immediate crime, right? They help solve the crime afterwards. And so I think, you know, if you're dealing with an emergency situation, it's always going to be boots on the ground and you know, the police officer in these areas where we have increased crime. Nothing is going to be able to prevent it, like actually supporting our law enforcement with the resources they need and the extra manpower they need to, you know, address critical issues. Flock cameras do not immediately address those, you know, those type of emergencies. Flock cameras help you solve crime afterwards. And that's going to be, you know, for me, that's the thing. We have traditional police tools. You know, police have worked for years and without flock cameras. And do they, you know, do they meet the standard of something that's critical when weighed with the balance of individual liberty and Fourth Amendment rights? And so I think that's almost a talking point that can be used, but it's not the actual issue that is affecting us when we're talking about flock cameras. That's more the solving of crimes. And weighing, like I said, weighing that balance of whether that tool meets that threshold. I think there also can be some other discussions. Maybe it's that the information is saved for a week or 2 weeks, where if a crime does occur, police can use that tool, but it's not permanently collected on citizens. I think that could be a compromise that would actually safeguard some rights. So I think there's still a lot of questions with this. How pervasive is it? You know, how much, you know, how many cameras are there? How much information is collected on average innocent citizens? How long is that information saved? You know, there's still a lot of questions that need to be asked and need to be sifted through when talking about this issue. And for me, like I said, the priority is that the public knows. They know what's being done. They know what information is being collected on them, and that they have a voice in saying yes or no. Because at the end of the day, good government serves the people and follows them. They don't collect information without telling them they're doing it.
John, we got to leave it there, but I always appreciate you making time for the program, and I look forward to having you on more in the future, but thanks for coming on this morning.
Now, always good to be on the show.
John Wall, ladies and gentlemen, the Republican Lieutenant Gubernatorial nominee. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Cowboys, and they still aren't seen. Sadly in search of, and one step in back of themselves and their slow moving dreams.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning. 251-343-0106. We need to be in touch with the show. Just text me. A named texter writes an interesting thing that the ProTech video is owned by a former Baldwin County sheriff deputy. Well, I mean, you go into the private sector, and I don't know. You maybe you have an expertise in knowing what the needs of that particular agency are. You know where the hot spots are. You know the kind of technology needed. Not that the technology is legal or constitutional, but it's interesting, but not necessarily incriminating. Unnamed texter, not a PSA for flock cameras, but the warrant was for an unpaid traffic ticket. Gulf Shores Police told him their cameras only read license plates. Let's see here. The real Sam. Right. So on a different note, Jeff, do you think they'll start rounding up some of the gazillions of Chinese that came in? Remember, just before the border got closed, all the people coming across the border were Chinese. That was alarming. I would assume that the net they are dragging to try to get some of these illegal aliens out would include those Chinese. I don't know. The statistics on deportations are probably available, but that would be the hope. Now, we haven't had a big deportation controversy in a few weeks, have we, where Tom Homan has to come on and try to put out a bunch of left-wing ideologues' fires, but it's always something in the back pocket here for the Democratic Party. We'll be right back. This is a Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5.